The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The untouched vegetables, the same meals on repeat, the worry about whether your children are getting the nutrition that you need, they're all concerns that parents deal with on a regular basis. So here to help us is Louise Lennox, chef and children's eating expert. Hello, Louise.
Hello, Claire.
And you're dealing with this from personal experience, I know, in your house, which set you off on this road from being a chef to somebody who specialises now in helping people deal with children who won't eat what you want them to eat.
I assumed like that would be the easiest part of my parenting. I was like, you know, night sleeps, they'd probably be awake. You know, toileting is probably going to drive me mad. But I thought eating, I'm going to be the best parent at this. It's actually going to be easy. And when I look back now, you know, we kind of take it for granted that how we eat. And we don't actually think about how hard it is to learn how to eat. Until my son stopped eating, I would not have thought that it was even a career I would have entered into, being a children's feeding therapist. Mm-hmm. Because it is a huge problem. And when Alex stopped eating, it made me go on this whole kind of, I think I re-looked into my whole world of food and what I thought I knew. And when I looked at it, I was like, but I don't actually know how you get a child to eat. None of us really do, because we're not trained in that.
No, we're not. And why would we? You know, it's not something that you need to know about until you need to know about
it.
And when does it generally start, those issues? Because, you know, you do the weaning and you're mashing up all the vegetables and hiding stuff, and they'll eat whatever you give them at that stage. So when does it change?
When you say they eat everything, I totally agree with you. And this is the one thing every parent needs to remember, because the weaning stage, people go, they ate everything. And I always say, but they also ate Lego and mud and stones and dirt. So they eat everything at that age. You normally first will see picky eating coming about at around 18 months to three, because children, they are starting to realise they're different from their caregiver. So they, up to that point, they think you're the same person in two different bodies. And then they realise that they can say no. So asserting authority is part of it. Their sensory system also starts to take on board. So they wouldn't have noticed maybe the feeling of those mushy carrots or the chicken in their mouth. And now they suddenly do. It's just part of evolution. They also develop food neophobia. So when we were all cave babies, to protect children from actually poisoning themselves from eating poisonous leaves or berries, they then start getting this fear of new foods. So it's actually inbuilt in a child's system to protect them from not poisoning themselves. And this is when we see these first early stages of eating challenges develop. And it's not something we're often educated about. I'd never read anything about this in the parenting books. Weaning, yes, a little bit of picky eating, but I never saw. I was never told that eating is a learned skill. It's a learned skill. Children's little smushed up faces, they're so cute. And then as they start to grow, we think that they're going to eat no matter what. But that's only true for the first few weeks of life. It's appetite responsive. And then they start like rooting. And then as they have to go into the weaning stage, their jaw drops down. They start looking more like little mini humans. Their mouth or their tongue starts creating more space inside the cavity. And children either learn to eat or they learn not to eat. That chewing skill is really important, and how to move the food from the front of their mouth to the back. I never realised that I'd be learning all of these different aspects in the quest. And all I wanted to do, Claire, was help my son eat. I never thought this would be a massive journey for me, because I had so many questions that I just had unanswered and so, I couldn't understand.
I mean, you'll have lots of parents listening to this who are either going through it or did go through it at some point, you know, where they couldn't get any broccoli in, or, not, you know, if it was green, it wasn't going to be eaten. When do you start to worry? Where is the tipping point, do you think, where you have to do something about this now, because they're only eating pasta and toast?
I think you start looking for the patterns. So all children at some stage in development, it's one in three children will become picky eating. Half of our children will grow out of it, the other half won't. And what can happen with the half that may grow out of it, it can snowball. So what you might hear of, you know, I'm not eating the broccoli today, or I don't want the chicken. And then if you give it like another time, they refuse it. Then we think it's off the menu. We think no means not forever. No might just mean not now. And there can be other challenges. So my own story was Alex stopped eating, and very fast the foods were all lost from his diet. And then he started losing weight. He had severe constipation. He was waking up with stomach cramps. His whole personality changed. And I remember going into my doctor's and her weighing him. And she said, he's losing a lot of weight and his clothes were falling off him. And she said, now we need a medical intervention. And I was like, oh my God, if we just fed him, it would be fine. So what you can sometimes see is if it's a repeat repeated ongoing pattern. And I call it the food funnel. They might have eaten loads of foods and then they're suddenly getting smaller and smaller, smaller range of foods because we don't know how to actually help our children learn how to eat. There can be sensory elements in that as well, Claire. Food's such a sensory part. And when you say about the broccoli there, a lot of kids, they don't class foods in their mind as proteins and carbohydrates. They'll go, green food is gross. It's a bit bitter. I don't eat it. And then all green foods is off the menu. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to change their aspect of how they view foods. Some children might have had, like if they teeth, they go off food. And it might then they might associate going, oh, well, that food is sore to eat. So I'm going to avoid that food. Oral motor skills is really hard. So fruit and vegetables, a lot of parents find very challenging. They're one of the hardest foods and meats because they're so fibrous and they need a lot of jaw strength. So if they get tired from eating and it's hard for them, they'll just avoid it because it's the body self-protection.
Okay, a couple of questions coming in. This listener says, I've read mixed reviews on this, so I'm hoping you can help. Dinner time is a struggle each day with my daughter. I've started rewarding her with a treat after dinner if she eats. Is that a good or a bad idea?
So the evidence and research doesn't support that. And I don't like saying a bad idea because I don't like putting blame on parents. We do what we think we know best. I did this when my son stopped eating. If I could have paid him to eat, I would have. So that's called a value split. So what happens is we're putting more value on the dessert than the dinner. And the child then might not be ready to say eat the pea or finish all the food, but they want that reward of the dessert. So they're not actually learning to eat for that intrinsic motivation, which is what we want, or that feeling of I'm naturally full. It's to get that reward, and we're vilifying the actual food because
it's a chore. You've got to do that to get this.
Yeah, and then it's also a chore for us, that constant negotiation. So if tonight is a dinner, is a dessert night, dessert happens no matter what. You don't want to make this dessert the reward because they're going to constantly then focus in on rewards and not actually focus in on the food. Mm-hmm.
So you can give the treat, but don't make it dependent on finishing your dinner.
Yeah. So if tonight's a dessert night, you give it no matter what it is. It's called the value split. We don't want to split the value of what the food is. Another area of that is if a child's learning to eat, they need to break down the sensory properties of a food sometimes to learn how to genuinely like it. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same as saying to somebody, now this might sound gross, here's a plate of vomit, eat it and you can have the dessert. You don't want to eat it. Or, you know, when you look at I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and they're eating witchery grubs and you can see that they are in so much pain eating these, you know, foods that we don't consider very appetizing, but they're doing to try and get, like, you know, all their friends' food, and they're having a horrible sensation from it. If that happens with our children, they might eat that carrot or the broccoli. In their brain, they're going, that wasn't nice. That didn't taste nice. I didn't like how that mushed up in my mouth. I'm going to avoid that from here on in. So we haven't given them the slow steps that children need to learn how to eat these foods.
Mm-hmm. How is Alex doing now with his eating?
Oh my goodness, like total turnaround. So he only ate 10 foods at his worst. And they're all, as I call it, the beige, bland and tan diet. The only thing he ate with colour was tomato ketchup. And he had like ramen with crispy pork yesterday. His favourite food he brings into school on a Friday is prawn pasta for his lunch. Like, it didn't happen overnight, Claire, and that's what I want to like let everyone know. Learning any new skill, like learning to swim, talk or walk, it does take time. But we feed our kids 4 or 5 to 6 times every single day. So kids can learn these skills really, really fast. It's just knowing how to help them. That's the key. And that's what a lot of parents take in blame, shame and guilt. I did. I couldn't even talk about this openly because I felt and I truly believed I failed him as a mother. I did. Every night I would cry. He would get upset overeating and so would I, because it's in our DNA, it's our primal feeling that our children should eat. But it's actually one of the hardest things we do as human beings. We just don't remember how we learned how to eat because we're adults now.
I'm very impressed with the prawns for lunch. I mean, that's a huge achievement, you know?
Yeah, he eats steak, medium rare, duck. He eats so many different foods. Is he in love with vegetables? No, he'll eat a few vegetables. He prefers the salad ones, but that's, you know, personal preference. We can't expect our kids to eat everything, because if that was the case, no restaurants would have different menus. Mm-hmm. Everyone would eat the same food. So we all have things that we prefer, but he has such a varied diet now. It's
and
lovely.
You've got him to that point without having any of the battles that some of us might imagine you would have had to go through?
What do you mean
like,
by
was
battles?
It a very slow process introducing all of those foods?
So I had to go back and train. I went over to America and I trained, and I still continue to train with the world's leading expert in children's eating, because I didn't have the answers and I was desperate. Mm-hmm. I was so desperate. Alex was on a hospital feeding program. So I found out where the medical team trained and I went over and trained. And I remember my now mentor, Kay, was saying, I've never had a chef before. Look, like, these are normally doctors and they're normally, you know, speech language therapists that are training. And I just said to her, my son's really sick. I'm really desperate. My whole world was food. That was my identity. And I said, now I feel like I'm the worst parent in the world. And I was so upset. And she's like, do you know what?
So hard on yourself.
But we are, though, aren't we?
I know. But you did all of that and you brought back the skills then to your house.
Yeah. So I started working with Alex. I literally arrived in from America and put everything I learned into practice. And when I saw those first wins, and a lot of people ask me what was the first thing I changed, it actually wasn't the food. I changed the chair he sat in. So we put so much thought into the car seats and the buggies and how we do our tummy time with our kids. The best investment, I will tell every single parent now, if you're pregnant, is invest in your chair for your child. One that has a footrest on it and one that has proper back support, because they grow with your child. Alex is now 12. He only finished sitting in that chair at age 11. The buggies and the car seats are long, long gone.
So comfortable at the table.
You need
and feeling
postural
secure.
Stability. Yeah. Mm. Because the first thing we do when we go to sit out when we're having a meal or anything like that is we want to be able to put our feet somewhere. The bar stool when we're offered, that's always like the second class seats. Nobody feels comfortable. And a lot of kids, they sit with knees, with their legs under their feet under their bums, or their legs are swinging. And actually, if their posture is stable, they're a lot more able to focus on the food.
Okay, Louise, we have to leave it there, but we may continue this conversation. Thank you so much for coming in. That's Louise Lennox, who's a chef and children's eating expert.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.